Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Lloyd.
Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am doing very well, and I hope the listeners are doing very well at home.
Well, I hope so too. I hope so too. Now, we are continuing with the subject, the second coming of Christ. And you know that the coming of the Messiah is not a secret only for those most educated or a prize for the rich or those who are, you know, at the inner circle. No, it's not a metaphorical or symbolic or only happening in a spiritual plane as once some believed by Christian communities. Now, we're going to be taking a look at some of the characteristics of Christ's second coming, as well as the events taking place upon his return. And Elder Lloyd joining me on the line is going to help us to decipher and try to understand all of those events. Now, my Elder, what will the second coming be like? Just to paint a picture of some of the markers of Christ's return. And what does it mean that his coming will be literal, it will be personal, visible, audible, sudden, etc.?
Yes. Well, Jesus' return is basically described in vivid detail in Scripture. You know, unlike the first coming, which was it was basically humble and quiet, his second coming will be grand. It will be undeniable. Basically, it will be universal. So, meaning that each and every one of us will actually experience it. It will be experienced in all four corners of the world. So basically, it will be a literal event that will shake the world. I know that some Christians believe that Christ's return will be symbolic and spiritual, as you have said, or it's a spiritual awakening, as some people say. But the Bible is very clear that it will be a actual event. Just as the disciples physically saw Christ go up, so will we see him come back. But the difference this time around is that each and every one of us who will be there will experience this event.
Yeah, I think it's got to be majestic. I'm just thinking about it. Now, Webb, describe to us the events at that coming of Christ.
Well, as we have touched that, it's an event that will be known by all. It will be seen by all. It will be also visible to everyone. It will be audible, and it will be very powerful. It will shake the world. So if you look at the events that happen, you know that the Bible describes describes a clear order of what will happen. The resurrection of the righteous which are dead. This we find in the book of Thessalonians chapter 4. So these believers will come out of their graves and will be glorified, and they'll be immortal. This we are told in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I think it's around about verses 52 to 55. We're also going to look at those who are alive. They will be instantly changed. They will be transformed. We get it also from that particular chapter. They will also receive, they will receive immortal bodies. So as Paul speaks, he says, this incorruptible body must wear that which is incorruptible. So meaning in a twinkling of an eye, will be changed. Yes.
Beautiful stuff, man.
So
a miracle is going to happen.
Yes, it is a miracle. Like I said, it's both the resurrection of the righteous and the transformation of the living. It's something that we have never seen. I mean, nowadays, if you remember a couple of months ago when a pastor claimed to resurrect someone, it was shocking to many people. How can a dead, besides, of course, the other funny events that were surrounding that, but actually imagine the actual resurrection, not of one person, not of two people, people, but an entire host of people that were buried, being resurrected. So it would be something which is very massive. It would be, yeah.
Quite majestic.
It would be something which will shake you. Majestic, that's the word.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, the coming of the Messiah, as you are saying,
yes,
everyone will be privy, including some of the enemies.
No. Not everyone will be privy.
So not everyone will see him.
Not everyone will see him.
Okay.
So we are told, in the book of Revelation chapter 20, that the rest of the dead did not leave until 1,000 years were finished. So we are told there that when Christ comes, there are some that are going to instantly die. There are some that are going to die at the appearing of Christ, so which means that they're going to be killed by the brightness of Christ, because he's going to come with all his glory. Now, if you look at the glory of the angel that appeared before men that were guarding the grave, the soldiers that were guarding the grave, it actually paralyzed them. It made them. So now imagine the entire glory of Christ, the glorification of Christ and the glorification of the angels. So when he comes back, it is only those that actually have the garment of Christ that are going to be able to see him, because Christ is coming to take his character reproduced in us. So meaning that Christ is coming to take a second Christ in us. So those that do not have a second Christ in them will indeed die.
I wonder what does it mean then on Revelation 1:7, because it sounds like it says every eye shall see him.
Yes, I'm glad you've touched that one.
And you are saying
those that pierced
him. And you are saying not every eye.
Not every eye, yes. I'm glad that you have touched that particular part, because it's specific.
Yes.
Yes. I was saying that Revelation chapter 1 verses 7 is very specific as to which eye. It is the eye of those that actually would have accepted Christ as their personal Savior as they were living. And those that did not, in fact, it says even those that pierced him. If you remember when Christ was speaking to Pilate, he says, "You, Pilate, shall see the Son of Man," because there are some people that did not believe that have to stand witness to see that which they denied. So we are speaking about people that
So which ones will not see him then? Because I just want to understand, because if it says all eyes shall see him, even those who pierced him, meaning that even those who didn't believe in him will see him. And you are saying not every eye. So which eye will not see him?
Okay. So, number one, it is those that will be dead, right? Those that would be dead and would have died, would have not died in Christ, they will not see him, except for those those that basically did not believe in Christ. So you're saying that shall see him or speak. Yes.
So you are saying that those who died believing in Christ will not see him.
Yes.
Is that what you are suggesting?
Yes.
Is this your suggestion, or is this what the scripture suggests?
That's exactly what I'm suggesting.
Hello?
This is exactly what the scripture suggests. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, no.
This is what the scripture suggests.
That I know, it says that all eyes shall see him, even those who pierced him. So no one will miss his coming. And of course, this is Revelation 1:7. Now, I'd like you to please just share with me.
Yes. Remember,
the one that says that those who are dead not in Christ will not see him. Where can we reference? demands that, my elder.
Yes. Remember Revelation chapter 20. It says that for the rest of the dead did not leave until the 1,000 years were finished. So we are speaking. So if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 16 and 17, it speaks about those that will see Christ. And then if you read chapter 20 of Revelations, it speaks about those that will not see Christ. And clearly it states that those that actually are dead and are in their graves, they did not wake up until the 1,000 years were finished. Now Revelation chapter 1 verses 7 then gives us among the dead those that will be able to resurrect and see Christ. It is those that pierced him.
Revelation chapter 20, verse which verse is that?
If you read chapter 20, you start from verses 1. It describes basically the entire happenings of Christ's coming, and you will realize there that it would speak about what will happen and how the devil will be bound for 1,000 years. So Revelation chapter 20 as a whole speaks, it touches quite a lot.
Yeah, because yes. My thinking and understanding is that those who pierced him, those who did not believe in him, those who are dead, everybody is going to resurrect. Others will resurrect to eternal life, and others will resurrect to eternal condemnation. But everyone will resurrect. Now, you are suggesting that not quite. Because if everyone is going to resurrect, surely then everyone is going to see him. Hello, my elder?
Right. Yes, I can hear you. You are breaking a bit. Yes. So if you read Revelations, like I said, Revelation chapter 20, verses 5, it says the rest of the dead did not leave until 1,000 years were ended. So that's very key. So the entire book of Revelations is very key in understanding, because verses 1 to 3, it speaks about the binding of Satan, the second coming and the binding of Satan. Verses 4 to 6 will speak about the reign of the righteous. And then verses 5 will then speak about the rest of the dead that did not resurrect. So this is why I'm saying if you look at Revelations chapter, you start from 1 Corinthians.
So are you saying that chapter, So are you saying that there are those who will not resurrect? Hello?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so I just want to check Revelation 20. Where do we find the one that says there are people who will not resurrect?
Revelation 20, verse 5.
Revelation 20, verse 5. And the rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection.
Resurrection, yes. So we need to differentiate the types of resurrection. So we've got the first resurrection. This is where Christ comes. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the second resurrection, where this is the resurrection of those that did not leave. So the second resurrection is for the unjust. It is for the people that had not chosen Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is the resurrection for judgment. This is the resurrection where God speaks particularly to them. They get to understand why they did not make it to heaven.
So let's then suggest that the scripture has contradicted itself terribly here, because it says all eyes shall see him, even those who pierced him, meaning that even those who did not believe him, even those who are not on his side. And on the other side, it says there are some that will not see him. It's a terrible contradiction on the same book. Why are we to believe this resurrection story then, if it's so contradictory?
Okay, It is not contradictory per se. This is why I'm saying, if you read Revelation chapter 1, you start off with the account of the second coming is very clear. You start off with Thessalonians. Thessalonians speaks about our hope for the future. Now, then you get to Revelation chapter 1, which speaks about the resurrection. In fact, maybe let me skip Revelation chapter 1, verses 7. Let me go to Revelation chapter 20, which then gives us those that will not resurrect. Now, then you come back to Revelation chapter 1, verses 7. If you remember very clearly, now, if you remember very clearly, I referred to the time when Pilate was having a conversation with Christ, and then Christ says, "You will see the Son of Man." So the phrase "every eye will see him" indicates that Christ's return will be witnessed by all people globally. Now this basically counters a notion of a secret resurrection. So it means everyone that would be alive at that time. Now, those who pierced him, now this refers to those responsible for Jesus Christ's crucifixion. Not everyone, but those responsible for Jesus Christ's crucifixion, while it directly points to individuals involved in his death. Yes.
So it's quite confusing then, and it's actually quite a very significant confusion, because the scripture seems to be saying one thing on the left, and then it suggests another on the right, and which means that now the reader does not have a reliable account of what is to exactly happen at the second coming.
It might seem so. If you have not read the entire scripture, if you read in bits and portions, then it might seem as if there is a contradiction. But if you read the scripture in its fullness and in understanding, then you will understand what it means. Because when you go to Revelations, it speaks about those that did not. Like I said, that there are people that would be resurrected so that they can see and believe that which they actually did not believe, so that they can that Christ is.
So you are saying that there are people who will not resurrect altogether?
Yes, on the first resurrection. Remember, the first resurrection is for the righteous living, and then for those that actually crucified. And then we've got the second resurrection, which is the resurrection of judgment.
And so these people who are in the second resurrection will be resurrecting to their judgment.
Yes.
Who will be judging them?
This is Christ. Basically Christ. Remember,
Christ will be responsible for the judgment.
Yes, basically, what we know, remember that if we look at the character and the person of Christ, he knows the beginning from the end, right? So he understands basically who will be lost and who will not be lost.
But
there are some of us here who are seen, who go to church every Sabbath, who read the Bible. We are known, but there are some of us who actually are known professed Christians who will not make it to heaven. So the questions will be asked. Why did Lloyd not make it to heaven? Because he was doing 1, 2, 3. That is for the 1,000 years, for the judgment of the 1,000 years. Now I will be resurrected so that I can know why I did not make it to heaven. So the judgment then will be passed. Now this is the executive judgment. Judgment will be shown to me that why did I not make it heaven?
Who's going to show these people this judgment?
It is Christ.
So he's going to be showing them why. So he's going to be showing them why did they not make it?
Yes.
So they will see him.
They will see him on the second resurrection.
So basically, they will see Christ.
They will see.
Upon resurrection, upon their resurrection.
Yes.
So therefore, they will also see him at their own resurrection. That resurrection that goes to eternal condemnation.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So they will say. So basically,
remember, we're dealing with the first resurrection.
Yeah. So basically, we can then say that everybody will have a sight of Christ when they resurrect. There's no one that's not going to see Christ.
Yes.
So when
that is true.
So when we then go back to Revelation 1 verse 7, all eyes shall see him means exactly that. There is no eye that shall not see him, correct?
That is correct. This is why I was saying, but we need to also take into consideration that there is the first and the second resurrection. And when we are looking at Revelation chapter 1 verses 7, we are also taking into consideration the first resurrection. Now, it's very important to understand that we are talking about the first resurrection. Then there is the second resurrection. So it's very important to take an account, because there's an assumption that all of us are going to resurrect at the same time. But that is not what the scripture says.
Mm. So effectively, what we can then point out here so that we can actually try and deal with the confusion that is brought about by these scriptures is that whether you arise in the first resurrection or the second resurrection, either way, you will see him.
Yes, yes.
So if that is the case, then there is no eye that will not see him, correct?
No. Yes, every eye will see him.
So there is no body that will die and never to see Christ.
Mm-mm. There is no one that will die and never see Christ, because they have to attest. Remember that
they have to account for their sins.
They have to account for their sins, not only for their sins, but also the character of Christ, because they will say, indeed, your judgment is... He is holy.
Right, right. So we can then settle this by saying that there is no eye that will not see Christ, whether you are resurrecting on the first resurrection or you are rising on the second resurrection. Either way, you will meet Christ, whether to salvation or to eternal condemnation.
That is true.
Now, how can we then make sure that we are part of the first resurrection?
Okay, making sure that we are part of the first resurrection, the first thing that we need to do, number one, is to accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Salvation is not just about good works, but it's about accepting Jesus as our Jesus' righteousness, you know, as our righteousness, that we do not have any righteousness of our own. We must surrender our lives and our hearts and our desires unto him. Number two, we must obey his commandments. True faith leads to obedience. I know sometimes, because we say we have been justified by grace, it does not mean that we no longer have to live within the law or under the law, but we still have. When we have been justified, it means that therefore we still have to obey Christ's law, because we have been justified. Then we have to obey him.
Yeah.
Hence he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I think the last and most important will be watching and daily prayer. So we must stay connected to Jesus. There is no way where we can make it to heaven without being watchful and being prayerful.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Well, my elder, I must thank you so much for coming through and engaging us and discussing these very important end time issues. It's always a pleasure talking to you. We're going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow, same time and same place, all right?
Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll meet each other tomorrow.
Lovely. Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.